I'm Daniel Cortese, and I approve this message. So a lot of the talks that we have today are talking about upscale use and brand extensions, and I'm going to go and take this a step further and explore a little bit more about what the tobacco industry is looking at as far as attracting a more upscale user or appealing to more upscale imagery. I'll describe three ways in which the tobacco industry has marketed to upscale users, as well as identifying marketing specifically of Camel brand extensions, which is also pulling in with what my colleagues are doing as well, and co-authors. And the third objective is to discuss opportunities for public health to reach upscale users. So the CDC had already provided data saying that U.S. tobacco users are low SES. Smoking prevalence by education is still high for low education, and also for, I know it's a clunky measure, but the poverty level. People who are below poverty level still are smoking more. But the upscale user is important to the industry, and we see this recently in the female-branded Camel No. 9 cigarettes, as well as what we had seen already, the snus marketing. And we've heard a little bit from my co-author and my colleagues discussing a little bit about how snus was to be marketed as, you know, upscale and trendy. The tobacco industry, specifically Philip Morris, were concerned about the worst-case scenario if tobacco use was seen as something that was completely low class. And they were concerned that if smokers were held down to this hardcore 10 to 15%, such as California and Utah, that it would end up looking more like a downscale market, and then no one would start taking up smoking. So this was a problem. They had to make it look attractive and look like something that wasn't someone secretly pacing back and forth outside of the buildings and hiding and doing it in secret. So my research methods, my co-author and colleague had already described that I had searched the documents on the Legacy Tobacco Library and used search terms such as upscale and sophisticated and upwardly mobile, and I yielded 114 relevant documents out of thousands. I triangulated these findings with Trinkets and Trash, www.trinketsandtrash.org, as well as the Pelé ads and the Philip Morris ad archive, as well as the Camel No. 9 website. So let me define for us what upscale user is. At least for the tobacco industry and how I define it based upon their documents, is that it's not a luxury. It's more aspirational. So these aren't luxury brands like Yves Saint Laurent or Davidoff. These are, Brown and Williamson, I'm sorry, Benson and Hedges, and Parliament, and certain Camel brand extensions. The users aren't currently wealthy, but they aspire to it. They're primarily young adult college students, and the premium brands that convey a fashionable sense of this fashionability and not necessarily wealth. I'm going to talk about three particular strategies. First, from Philip Morris's Parliament brand, where they tried to reposition a dying brand to make it more upscale. And the next is to create a subsidiary, which R.J. Reynolds had done for Moonlight Tobacco Company back in the mid and late 90s, and as well as brand extensions for Camel. In 1953, Philip Morris introduced the Parliament brand, and it quickly declined over the 1980s, and it was dying in the United States, but they had noticed in internal dialogue and internal marketing, Philip Morris International had recognized that elsewhere, such as in Japan and in Turkey, that the young and upscale were smoking Parliament. So they thought that this could be an option. It ended up by, in the 1980s, that most users of Parliament were older women. And so there was a small section in the northeastern United States where young adults were smoking Parliament. And it was fairly interesting for them. And then Philip Morris had figured that they can go national with this by repositioning the brand to upscale light smokers, people who are a little health concerned on that area. But they had a problem. They had to retain the old women while capture young adults. And that's specifically what they had said. They were concerned about the older women being a little upset by the new marketing, which some of the advertisements that they were trying to showcase but didn't actually launch were showing, you know, topless women on a beach or, you know, younger men, and the older women were kind of upset by that. So they had to come up with a new strategy to retain gather young adults. And here is an example of a direct marketing mail out, which is setting the seaside mood. So in the winter months, when you're cold and it's snowing outside, how can you go and create the mood? And you can fill your bathtub with sand and water and go in there and maybe have a tropical drink and a little wave machine that can go and undulate and get you seasick. And so these are the images that they were sending out to young adults. Let's compare this to the advertisements that were targeting the older women. And we see that it is upscale. Here's a young couple back in 1988 who have their own private airplane. And they had gone to a dock. I don't know how they got there, but they apparently did. And they're all dry. Maybe that's why there's a backpack. And then we see in 2003, the imagery really hasn't changed much. The models, although it's hard for us to see here, the models on the top were younger. They were in their late 20s, early 30s visually. And down below, they're a little bit more mature in their 40s and 50s, establishing money to be able to go to these remote locations, such as this exclusive island. So the imagery really is starkly different for Parliament. So is this a success? Well, if we look at the data, Parliament still is not a top young adult brand, although it still is strong in the Northeast, which includes New York and Boston and Philadelphia. So another option that we have is to create a subsidiary. And in 1995, R.J. Reynolds had created a subsidiary to sell moonlight tobacco brands such as Politics, Sedona, Planet, Icebox. Those are the names in the little anchovy tin. And the rarity of the cigarettes, because these were only sent out to select markets in the United States, this rarity was building upon this idea of getting, you know, a Sam Adams brew. It was very difficult back in the 1990s to really get a specific brew house beer. And so they wanted to make this rare, and that rarity appealed to that upscale sense. They marketed to up-and-coming singles who were young adults who had money and young adults who were owning, you know, their own condo in major cities. For some reason, it's getting spastic on me. Okay, and the focus of the subsidiary was to really go and take Marlboro users away. And in 1996, the research from R.J. Reynolds and the Moonlight Tobacco Company had shown that they were actually attracting Camel smokers, which was their own brand. So it was not really succeeding in the way that they wanted it to do. So was this successful? Probably not. It's not even around anymore. And so we see R.J. Reynolds trying a new tactic, which is these brand extensions. And here is a picture of the Camel No. 9. It is now available in Stiletto. And it is, again, connecting this fashionability to a female-branded cigarette. Camel really has this brand equity of being masculine, and now they're trying to make a separate brand extension that really attracts to women. And so the 100s aren't really 100s, they're Stiletto. And we see that it's connected in with the Stiletto heel and the glamorous dress to the nines, pulling in this upscale imagery of glamour, but it's attainable glamour, and that's the important aspect. Because as we see in the history of Camel, back in the 1980s, right when Joe Camel was really being launched, R.J. Reynolds had come up with a Special Lights brand extension, and their own research for this was to be of high quality and that it must be different from Camel premiums, and the objective is to have a high perceived value and appeal among aspirational Marlboro Lights users, trying to pull away from that. And aspirational is really defined in this way of slightly more educated, slightly higher income. So the stress is on not too much. They don't want it over the top. Print colors in the ads for this one ad is they should be bold, more masculine than feminine looking. They were afraid that magenta skewed feminine. And the dark blue and purple were gender neutral or skewed masculine. And gold has this sense of high class and quality, which they liked, but too much would communicate flavor. So they would think that it was a strong branded cigarette, and they didn't really want that. So they have to pull back, and the tobacco industry has to pull back on upscaling. And R.J. Reynolds was really concerned about this, saying that the tuxedo that they planned for this advertisement that we had seen for the special lights was too upscale, and it wouldn't really identify with young men. A tuxedo conveys an image that is above the typical smoker. So again, they recognize that the smoker is not really a person who's consuming luxury. And as long as Joe Camel continues to look dashing and debonair, he can maintain his appeal to women, even if his clothing is toned down, which eventually was toned down to that Miami Vice look of, you know, Calvin Klein black t-shirt with a sport coat on top. So here is an example of the Camel No. 9 website. When we go right on there, we see that, again, it's connected with fashionability, and here are some designer boxes. The one that is in the middle on with the zipper, the little camel with the zipper, we see it third one in on both sides. That was actually developed by a Project Runway contestant, not winner, mind you, Santino Rice, who had developed that brand and said that the zipper was very sexy and wanted to go and convey that, and he's proudly displayed all the way on the bottom. So one of the problems with that we had seen with my co-author and my colleague is trying to upscale spitless tobacco. I mean, you do have to spit this, and this is a concern. So In R.J. Reynolds' research, they wanted to go and convey somehow in smokeless tobacco a quality-based prestige fashion approach to primarily target upscale and younger targets. And here we see an advertisement for a snus ad where we see that highlighted in the bottom blurb is that since snus is spitless, smokeless, and comes in a small pouch, you can snus without breaking eye contact. We see that it's definitely an upscale bar that they're in, and they're enjoying themselves in very nice clothes, and spitting is, of course, not low class for them. So, to wrap this up, we see that there are three strategies. First, you can go and rebrand something, and that doesn't always work. You can create a subsidiary, and of course that doesn't always work, because if you see right through it, then it doesn't become really rare. It's just one big tobacco company, again, trying to target you. So one of the things that appears to be most successful is the Camel brand extension. And this is when you're applying the strengths of your parent brand to other products. Upscale isn't a luxury, it's aspirational. Upscaling is depicted in the imagery, but it's not really an upscale addiction, and there is that disconnect that they have to bridge. So we see a number of the tobacco industry ways of doing this is to target young adults who don't have money now but really want to have money, and so they see themselves as being wealthy or wealthier and able to afford this luxury. So it becomes an affordable luxury. It's a potential for the tobacco industry, therefore, to expand into low-use populations such as middle-class and upper-class people. The implications for public health are quite clear when we're talking about upscale users. It's analogous to movie stars who smoke. If we can convey an image that this is not something that is repulsive, that you should hide in a corner and do it, and you can do it out in the public, then it makes it look more upscale. Brand extensions are successful, but they're vulnerable. My colleague Jane Lewis had said, you know, there's the ick factor. Well, new products are unknown. The extensions are unfamiliar. We can go and target that as well. If we point out that it's manufactured by the tobacco industry itself, the advertisements, then there's another potential challenge. And then we could say, you know, isn't this just a weird product? Isn't snus just odd? You know, why are you worried about spitting or not spitting? And And we can focus on the cancer number 9 campaigns too, and counter marketing. But one of the last things that I do want to say is that it's important to show the reality of smokers, but we should be cautious when we are developing any strategy to not really be classist. We don't want to go in and tell the smokers that, you know, you're low class and marginalize them, because that would help, that would not help in cessation. Thank you.